18. Revelation 2:18. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, which hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I have given her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and have which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The title of this message this morning is simply, "The Church Adulterated." Or Thyatira, the adulterous church. Let's pray. Father God, I ask that you be with our service now this morning. Be with me as I preach your word. And how humbly I come before these people, knowing the burden of Scripture. I pray you speak to our hearts. Challenge us, Lord Jesus. Change us by your word. And may we seek to glorify you in your name, I pray. Amen. How many of you have ever caught your child doing something red-handed? Raise your hand. One of my favorite shows is America's Funniest Videos. You guys ever watch America's Funniest Videos? I love that show because they're hilarious. That's why it's America's Funniest Videos. One of my favorite videos of all time is one a lady recorded. And all it is you have the camcorder going, and she's walking through her hallway. And all along the walls, there is this red mark made in a squiggly line. And there are handprints, and it looks like flesh-colored powder all along the wall. And some black drips along the carpet. And she's just going along filming all this. And she's following the trail these marks are leading. And she rounds the corner into her bathroom. And there, sitting on the toilet, is her 2-year-old daughter with makeup canisters scattered at her feet. And on her face, she has a crude lipstick smile painted. And she's got eyeliner on her cheeks and all over her face. And the question the mom asks is, "Susie, have you been getting into mommy's makeup?" And the reply, almost inevitable, "No." Well, who did it? Max the dog. He got into it. And here is this child denying what is evident to everyone in the audience. And everybody roars in laughter because here's this daughter, you know, persevering in her denial of her guilt, when the evidence is where?
On her face.
Thankfully, I don't have girls, so I've never had that experience, but I've had chocolate fingerprints along the walls and boys with chocolate cake all over their faces. "Caleb, did you get in the..." "No, sir. No, sir. Let me smell your chocolatey breath." "Oh." And here at the church at Thyatira, you have a congregation that on the outward seems like it is doing well. It seems like they are one thing. They've got all of these works that they are doing, their charity, their love, their service, their faith. All of these things seem to be going right, and it shows that the church seems to be doing well. But then Jesus comes and says, those outward appearances are deceiving, and in fact, there is something seriously wrong with you. You have a very big problem, and her name starts with a J, Jezebel. And when you look at the evidence that is given in this passage, you cannot see the church at Thyatira and say nothing more than it has serious problems. It was in serious error. And in spite of all of their objections to the contrary, the evidence speaks for itself. Yes? And so often we as Christians, we put on a good show, do we not? I hope all of you bathed.
Did you guys bathe last night, this morning? Amen? We have to bathe the boys with a hose Saturday night. It's bath night. And we dress up and we come to church and we put on shirts and ties and we look good and we put on smiles and we walk around and we shake everybody's hand and we give the impression that things are going well. That we're happy to be at church in the morning. That we're good Christian people. When oftentimes the contrary is true, yes? And the truth is that none of us can hide from who we really are. Because just like this church at Thyatira, the Bible says Jesus, the one whose eyes are like a what? A flame of fire. He sees your heart. You cannot hide from Him. You can deny it like that child on that video. Everything's fine, Lord. I'm a good Christian. But He knows the truth of your life. You can dress up to impress me. You can dress to impress others. But Jesus really knows what is going on in your life. I may not. Some of you, I see you once or twice a week. You can deceive me pretty good. But Christ sees you all week long. He sees you at the job. He sees you at leisure. He sees you when you turn on the TV. He sees you with your spouse. He sees you with your children. He sees you in the field. You cannot run from Him. You cannot run. And here the Bible says that this church at Thyatira, though they had outward appearance of doing well, they had serious problems. And may I say, in the church in America today, so often we seem to play the part, but we have serious problems. We have serious issues. So let us look at this church and let us analyze our three points we've been using as we've been studying the church. The first thing I want us to see is the commendation. I'm going to get it right one of these days. Commendation. What the church was doing right. Notice what Jesus says. This is the shortest commendation given to any of the churches. Just a matter of about a dozen words. Notice what Jesus says. Verse 19. I know your works. I know your charity and service and faith. I know your patience. I know your endurance. I know your perseverance and thy works. And the last to be more than the first. He tells this congregation, I know you seem to be doing good. You have charity. You have love. You have faith. You have perseverance. You've been enduring what the enemy's been throwing at you. You have all of these things. You're doing the job. You're doing the job. Outwardly, they looked good. Yes. They had a big building. They had church bands. They had people. They seemed to be getting the job done. Notice what he says. He says, I know your works. And he says this over and over again in these passages. And it's to remind us that Christ knows our what? Heart. He knows your hearts. He's the one with eyes like fire that peers into your very soul. You cannot hide from Him. He knows the truth. He says, I know your works. I know you look good. You have an active ministry. Notice what He says. He says, your last works are more than your what? First, you're growing. You're doing better. You're progressing. In this Christian life, guess what? We're to be what? Progressing, right? We're to be growing. Yes? We're to be growing. We're not to stay where we are. There's a problem if a child remains a child, right? What Bentley does now at 4 years old, he is four, right? Or is he three? He's four now, right? At 4 years old, if he did that when he was 14, it'd be old, right? It'd be bad. For him. Children are to what? Grow. Christians are to what? Grow. That's what they were doing. Your last works are more than your first. You are doing the job. And I'm turning on the air conditioning. Because I see Miss Tammy's about to pass out. You're growing. You're ministering. They had charity. They had love. They had patience. They had good works. They had compassion. They were reaching people. But notice what he says next. Notwithstanding, you've got some serious problems. Appearances can be deceiving. You guys ever heard that? In World War I, the British were losing a lot of convoys to German U-boats. So what the British decided to do was rather than send destroyers, because the German subs were smart enough, they wouldn't attack an armed ship. They would let the convoy float by and hit the ones that were not guarded. So what the British decided to do was develop what they called a Q-ship. And all a Q-ship was is they took a merchantman, stripped it of all of its cargo, and in lieu of its cargo, armed it. But the weapons were hidden. And some of them are pretty cool when you actually watch. If you ever get bored and you want to watch a historical documentary, I recommend a couple. But you watch a documentary on these Q-ships, and it's awesome the way they had rigged up. They'd almost, the deck would spin open, and there would be a gun turret right there. So these convoys would go along, guarded by these Q-ships and these unsuspecting U-boat captains. Now, what they did in World War I is they just didn't torpedo everybody. This isn't, you know, I was telling this to Becky, and she's like, you mean they would surface the boats, and they would give the crews a chance to surrender. They'd surrender, they would let the crews abandon ship, and then they would sink the ships with their deck gun. So here's these U-boat captains, and they're out in the ocean, and they see these merchantmen go by, and they surface the ship, and all of a sudden, guess what happens? What they thought was going to be an easy target flips over and starts shelling them. And these guns were a lot heavier than anything that U-boat was carrying. And they sunk U-boat after U-boat after U-boat, till finally the Germans decided, we're not giving them any more chance. Sink every ship on sight. And they stopped surfacing and blew every ship out of the water. Appearances are deceiving, yes? We act the part. We come to church. And I am thankful you are here. But it's easy to pretend to be a Christian. It's easy to pretend. It's easy to play a game. It's easy to come to church on Sunday. It's a whole other thing to live it on Monday. It's easy to have a sticker on your car and a thank you Jesus sign in your front yard. It's a lot harder to do it the rest of the week. Hear me. You can deceive yourself. You can deceive me. You can deceive us. But you cannot deceive Christ. He sees your heart. He knows who you are Monday. He knows who you are driving a truck. He knows who you are in the field. He knows who you are at Computer World, Brother Mike. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He sees your heart. You cannot trick Him. can't do it. What Jesus says next, he says, I've got some things against you. He gives this condemnation to this church. He tells them this in verse 20. He says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which call herself a prophetess, to teach and to what? Seduce. That's an interesting word, is it not? Seduce, seduction. And to seduce my whom? My servants. She is seducing my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to what? Repent. But she, what? Did not. She did not. Behold, I'll cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they what? Repent of their deeds. Hear me. Who is this woman Jezebel? How many of you know the story of Jezebel, who she was in the Old Testament? Jezebel married King Ahab. And through their marriage and her influence, she led Israel astray into the worship of the god Baal. And it was her influence that led to the confrontation between Elisha and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. All of that was because of her influence. So when the scripture here mentions this woman's name as Jezebel, that wasn't her real name. What it's doing is showing that, like Jezebel, she was leading the church astray. She was leading the church astray. How? The Bible here mentions fornication and eating things worshiped, offered to idols. Is that what it's referring to, is simply sexual immorality? No. Jezebel led Israel into a spiritual immorality where she went after other gods. And here, this woman is leading the church not just in fornication, but in idolatry and adultery of the heart. And this is where it's dangerous for the church. Because when we begin to be so enamored with things that are not true, with false teaching and false gods, we are committing adultery with our Christ. We are leaving Him and going after another. Is adultery wrong? Yes? Is fornication wrong? Is sexual immorality wrong? Not just between a man and a man, but between a man and a woman. It is wrong. Outside of marriage, sexual immorality is a sin. Yes? Nod your head. Rattle, rattle, rattle. Yes? Okay. But when the church leaves the doctrine of the gospel and goes after another, it is just as bad. It is just as bad. And notice what she's doing. She says, we are seducing. You are teaching and seducing my servants. That word seduction, that word to seduce, has a lure in it, doesn't it? Enticement. Her words were like honey. Her words were like honey. But it led to what? Death. Listen, false teaching does not buy the church anything. It costs the church everything. Notice what Jesus says. He says this in verse 23. He says, unless I will kill her children. All those who've been in the bed with this woman. That's not a physical adultery. That's those who follow her teaching. I will put them to great tribulation. I will kill her children. That's not referring to physical descendants, but descendants of ideology. Her followers, her disciples. I will what? Kill them. This is Jesus talking. I will kill them. Remember what he said to the church at Pergamos. He says, unless you repent, I will come and what? Fight against you. So here Jesus is being what? Serious? You think this is a serious statement Jesus is making, or is this Jesus playing around? Hear me. Sin is serious. Sin is serious. False teaching is serious. Going after another gospel that is not true is serious. Jesus takes it very seriously when we abandon him and go after another. And the problem with America is much like this church, is we are surrounded by false teaching. We hear things like, you just need to be tolerant, have compassion, love people. God would never send anyone to hell. You just have to be inclusive. You don't have to judge others. Just love them to Jesus. You guys, I hear this all the time. Don't be so narrow-minded. And then we have the false teaching of the prosperity gospel. Just sow your seed and God will bless you, right? He wants you to be healthy and wealthy. The problem is, Jesus says, I have nowhere to lay my head. He wasn't wealthy. And the disciples and apostles were murdered because of their faith in Christ. They surely weren't healthy. We have that teaching. We have this teaching on tolerance that we have to accept all of these people because we just need to be loving. We need to be loving, yes, but not when it costs us truth. We love people, but we preach to them the gospel. It is not loving to lie to them. It's loving when we tell them the truth. Hear me. This church had a problem because they were going after this false doctrine and it was leading them astray. And Jesus says, I will take this woman. And he says, I will cast her into a bed. That's a sick bed. I will throw her in there. And any who follow after her, I will judge. Notice what he says. Why? Why will he kill her followers? Why will he execute justice and judgment on his church? Why? Notice what he says. So that the church may know that I am he who what? Searches the reins and the hearts. You cannot fool him. You cannot fool Christ. You can play a game with me. You can play a game amongst the body. You can play the game with your family and your spouse. And you can put on the Christian persona and act like everything's fine. But you cannot fool him. Can't deceive him. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. We had a webmaster at Dynabraid. And our website at Dynabraid was so out of date, we affectionately called it the pig. Because it was a pig. And we had this webmaster, and he decided that he was going to change, not the website, but he was going to change the landing page that you get to. And he dolled it all up and made it look so good. But it's still the same crummy website. So we made this picture, and you got to understand, we pick on each other a lot. And it was a pig with lipstick on it. And we entitled it, It's Still a Pig. You can put a monkey in a suit, but he's still a what? You can dress up an ape, but he's still a... You can put lipstick on a pig, it's still a... You can act like a Christian. But if there's no genuine faith and repentance, you're still lost. You're still lost. Notice what Jesus says. It says, those who have not followed after her teaching, I will tell you not to do anything else but this. Hold fast what you have. Listen to me. We are amidst a sea of false doctrine in our country. Our church is affected by it. Every church is affected by it because it's everywhere. We have radio shows, talk shows, TV shows. We've got CDs, books. You've got billboards by every. And we're saturated with it. What do? Stay faithful to this. Stay faithful to this. And hear me. If you don't know Christ, you're not deceiving anybody but yourself. What does he say in Matthew 7? There'll be many at the day who say, Lord, Lord, have we not done all of this? And what does Jesus say? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You can play a game, but you're not fooling him. He knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows what you're going to do tonight. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He sees you when you think no one's looking, and he's not in a red suit. Amen? He is he whose eyes are a flame of fire, who searches the reins and the heart, who knows your heart. You cannot fool him. And the Bible says his feet are as brass. He does not change and goes nowhere. You're not going to change him. The only response for us as believers is to be changed by him. This week, as we go into the world and as you go to job, and you go to school with a gas mask and hazmat suit on, as you go into the field, as you guys drive trucks, Miss Lenore, as you work at the dump with a gas mask on and hazmat suit on, make sure your faith is genuine. Make sure you really know him. And when you get out there this week, live like it. Live like it. Live as Christ would have you live. Don't buy into the false doctrine. Don't buy into the false teaching. It may sound good, but it'll cost you. Follow him. Obey him. Trust him. Live as he would have you live. Amen. That's the challenge for us as believers, is to live as Christ in an unchristian world. To live as Christ in an unchristian world. Notice what Jesus says. He gives a promise here, and he says this. He says, to him that overcomes, to those whose faith is genuine, who truly believes in me. Notice what he says. And to he that overcometh and keepeth my works. Keeps my works. Does what I say to do. Keeps my works unto the end. To him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule with them a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the what? The morning star. Listen, why stay faithful? Why be faithful? Because of what's at the end. To him that overcomes, he will rule with me. We are joint heirs with Christ, and we will reign with Christ. And he says, I will give him the what? The morning. What is the morning star? You farmers? It is the brightest star you can see at the very crack of dawn. When all the others fade away, that one's still there. What is it to Jesus to give us the stars of the sky when he's the one that made them? That's a trophy. That's a trophy. Jesus, stay faithful. Follow me. Follow my work. Don't be deceived. Don't follow false teaching. It may sound good. It may be honey in your ears, but it leads to death. Don't follow. Follow him. Live as him. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day you have given us. Thank you for your blessings and your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Father, that you are so good to us. And as you were even to this lady, you gave her space to repent, yet she persisted in her rebellion. I pray, Lord God, that you would work in our hearts. May you soften us by your grace. May we not persist in error, but may we be transformed by your truth. May we walk according to it. May we live it. May we shine as lights in a dark world. May we, Lord Jesus, be faithful and hold fast what we have till you come. May you work, O God, amidst your people. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming out this morning.